Hello, and thank you for listening to the Hope Canteen Podcast, where we look at scriptures for the coming Sunday to find insight for our walk with Christ. In this podcast, we're trying to model the truth that we believe in scripture we still encounter the living God, but what God is saying to us today in the 21st century is not always clear. So we have to explore it through conversation, reflection, and prayer. And out of our explorations, we always learn something new. This is our 16th episode of the podcast. My name is Steve London, pastor at St. Thomas Anglican Church. And I am joined by Stephanie London, the pastor of St. Columba in Beaumont. And this week, I'm happy to say that Michael Rolfe is back. So, Michael, we missed you last week. How was your vacation?
It was really good. We had actually about 4 days away. Our son and daughter-in-law have a trailer that is located in an RV park. And they've made it possible for us to use the trailer. And we got to spend time with our grandchildren for those 4 days. So it was good. It was a bit exhausting, but it's been a while since we took care of teenagers. But we're doing just fine. And we had a great time.
Great. I'm so glad. And again, I'm glad to have you back on the podcast this week.
Thank you.
How about you, Stephanie? How are you?
Yeah, doing well. It feels like the summer has been short this year, just a lot in it, but I'm glad it's still sunny out there. And my pea plants are about 3 times as tall as I thought they would be. So they're exploding over the yard and yeah, lots of life.
Yeah. I have to say I'm well. I mean, I'm going to say I'm hot. It's just hot right now. I usually have the fan blowing on me all day long. But one of the nice things about our house, we have a little screened in back porch and I spend a lot of time out there. So that's actually been quite nice. Mm-hmm. So as we turn to our podcast this week, we are looking at one of the central moments in the life of Jesus. It's called the feeding of the 5,000. If you'd like to read the story before we talk about it, you can pause the podcast here and turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. It's a fairly short story and quite simple. After the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, Jesus has gone off to be by himself for a while, but he finds again and again that he just can't get away from the crowds. They actually track him down in the wilderness and show up. And Jesus is moved with compassion and he continues his healing ministry. As it gets late, his disciples are gauging the time when people are going to have to leave to walk away to find some dinner, but Jesus challenges them. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. So they can only find some bread and some fish, and Jesus uses that to feed 5,000 people. Actually, more than that. We'll talk about that later. But that in itself is profound. But as always in the scriptures, there is much more to this story that meets the eye. So I'd like to invite Michael and Stephanie to help explore this story with me. So What all did you appreciate about this story?
But one of the first things I notice is that early on in the story, it talks about Jesus having compassion. It communicates, as far as I'm concerned, it communicates very clearly that God is love. Interestingly, this is the only parable that exists in all four Gospels. And it was held to be a very important passage. Some say it was probably read in the Christian community on a very regular basis. And the first message is that God is love. God loves his people. And that's important. That to me is one of the most important things about this passage.
Yeah, that strikes me as well, Michael. I can just imagine Jesus is grieving deeply for his cousin, John the Baptist. And he just wants to get away and pray. He goes to this deserted place and he just can't get away from the crowds. And perhaps they're grieving for John the Baptist too, but just the fact that he doesn't send them away like the disciples want him to. He says, okay, like I'll meet their needs. I'll do this thing for them. And it reminds me sort of when we were parents of really young children, you know, you get them to bed and it's like, oh, I can finally relax. And then somebody starts crying and you just have to go deal with it. Yeah, that's what it makes me. I guess it says to me something about Jesus and about God that he's just so generous with them, with his own time and his own, even though he's tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is the place, and I love the compassion. And I think in another place, you know, he recognizes that he says they're sheep without a shepherd, and that actually has a reference right? The reason they're coming to him is they're not finding the spiritual nourishment, the love of God in the religious leadership of the day or in the big conversations of the day, especially around the Roman Empire. And Jesus comes up and not only teaches, but actually just physically shows this compassion.
Yeah, he's kind of magnetic for them, I think, that they're even willing. It says they follow him into the wilderness, which is a place of scarcity, and yeah, but still they follow Jesus because there's something about him that they want to be near him.
I want to pick up on that wilderness idea, Stephanie, because I think that's actually really profound. Michael, as you said, each of these, this miracle is found in all four Gospels, and it's actually worthwhile reading them in each of the four different Gospels because they each kind of bring out a different nuance or a different idea. And part of it, my understanding, which I just find absolutely fascinating, just the artistry of it, because it's only suggested. But again, going with this idea of Matthew, some of you may not know, actually uses again and again the vision that Jesus is the new Moses. Matthew is written for a Jewish audience, very much looking back into the Old Testament about questions of fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and imagery. And again, Jesus is the new Moses. And we see this again because we know in the wilderness and the story of the Old Testament in Numbers, when the children of Israel are hungry, they are fed with bread from heaven. And so now Jesus is coming and feeding them as well in the wilderness. And so he is the new Moses. And so there's just this other profound level in this story.
There's this great parallel between the two stories, yes.
Kind of the New Testament manna. Yes, right? The thing that God provides.
Another thing that's interesting to me in this, one of the commentators said that there's a message here about discipleship. I can understand that. He goes so far as to say, Jesus didn't feed these 5,000 people. It happened because of him, but he told the disciples to feed them. At first, they thought this was a foolish instruction he was giving them because, hey, we've only got a little bit of fish and bread here. But then it happens, and they're able to distribute to the people enough food to feed them and then have all sorts of leftovers. So it's a message about how God expects us to pick up the ministry of Jesus. He didn't do this himself. He handed it off, gave it off to the disciples to look after.
I think that's exactly right, Michael. It's one of my favorite images. You know, you give them something to eat. What? Yeah. And I think he's actually trying to form a new kind of people who would trust in God. Again, I love this idea that there's more than meets the eye. Because there's another resonance here that I find so beautiful. Again and again in other places, Jesus talks about the idea of the banquet table where people are invited from all the countries of the world. And in scholarly circles, we call this the eschatological banquet. Eschatological just means an image of the final fulfillment of God's trying to restore the whole world. And the idea is that not only is Jesus the Moses feeding the people in the wilderness, but it's also, so it's not only looking backwards, but it's also looking forward. This is a foretaste of this eschatological banquet. In Isaiah, we read in Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. And Michael, I think you're right about the discipleship, because the idea is we're actually called to carry that on, right? You feed them. And when we feed people in the world, we're actually not just doing a good deed, which in of itself is a blessing, but we're actually showing the fact that we are looking forward to what God is doing.
Yeah, I find it kind of funny, I guess, that they say we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like, we have nothing. And what the story is telling us is, no, you don't have nothing. You have the Son of God.
And 2 loaves and fish.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But what God provides is the vast majority of what we have is the presence of God and what God is doing. And yeah, just thinking when you were talking, Steve, it's a sacramental act. It tells us something about God's abundance through particular symbols. And that's the tie-in, I think, for the church when it comes about to see this as Eucharistic and sacramental, that this is a way, you know, when we're not in quarantine, that God feeds us every week.
Yeah, Stephanie, I think that sacramental idea is hugely important. We know Again, going back to this thing that this miracle is in each of the four Gospels, and each Gospel brings out a different point. In the Gospel of John 6, I believe, this story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the stepping off point for Jesus to reflect on the fact that not only is he giving out bread as the new Moses, but that in fact he is the manna. He is the new bread from heaven.
There's another tie-in I hear in this, and that's to Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Because the first temptation that the devil gave him was, take these stones and turn them into bread. And when Jesus was so hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he wouldn't do that to fill his own hunger. But here we see that he actually can do that, but he's only willing to do it to fill the hunger of the world. Like, it's incredibly self-giving and generous and just focused on the people that he loves. He's not going to use his power for himself, but for them.
It comes back to the discipleship as well for me, because it's telling me that God gives us the power to do to reach out to the needs of the people, to do the ministry that God wants us to do. The power comes from God, and we're able to do it because of that power.
And not only does the power come from God, but like this overwhelming abundance of it comes from God. I love that they pick up all these broken pieces and there's 12 baskets full. It's like God doesn't just meet their need. He overmeets their need.
I love that image, Michael, because I think, I forget where I read it. I think it was Philip Yancey. He was saying that one of the things we rejoice in is that God has given us the dignity of being able to partner with him for the kingdom of God, for the new creation. And, you know, in one sense, maybe God would just snap his fingers and do everything. But for whatever reason, we're chosen to be a part of that. You give them something to eat. I just find that really profound. A calling from God to feed the world, both obviously with physical bread, but also we proclaim Jesus as the bread from heaven. It's quite an exciting thing.
Suddenly get this image of God, the greatest of all delegators.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And there feeding is a way that, like, there's so many ways that we can feed people, not just with bread, but in all the different things that we do. And to see that all those different things as part of the work of God is neat. I think it's one of the messages of this story.
So there's so much in this story. We could actually talk for quite a bit more time, but maybe as we wrap up this podcast, we'll ask the question we always ask, what does this say to us today? How is God speaking, do you think, that we can take from this in this time of COVID?
For me, it's God cares, and God is not absent. God is hearing it. God knows what we need and is equipping the rest of us as much as possible to do God's will, to look after what God would have us do, to look after God's people.
Yeah, for me, I notice the beginning of verse 18 where they say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. And I take from that when we bring what we have to Jesus, then he's more than willing to turn that to the work of the kingdom. So even if what we have looks like very little, that we can trust God to complete that and to do amazing things with it. And I'm also glad that at the end, after this story, he does get a bit of alone time because he gets to walk across the water in the dark without anybody.
What a great insight. I think for me, I would echo all of that. I think, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus is trying to form a people, trying to form these disciples to be people of expectation and to know that even if they have but a little, God will use it. And I think we are still that people. God is forming and also sending out into the world. And I love the idea. I know in COVID, it's not just bread. Some people do need literal bread and we're called to do that, but other people need other things. It might be a listening ear. It might be some other kind of work that we can do. It might be small and we might not feel that we are able to do that. But I think that's discipleship, right? We're called to meet that need. And it's more than just a good deed. I keep coming back to this. It's a signpost of what God is doing, that in giving bread, we are participating in God's great project of world restoration, the kingdom of God. And that's just a great opportunity and invitation that God gives to us.
And to have a God that invites us to participate in that work and to partner with God in that work is is really neat.
So thanks everyone for listening to our podcast. Again, we really enjoy making these, having these conversations. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation, we would like to hear from you. Please write us at RevSteveLondon@gmail.com. Some people have written me and I've had good email conversations with them, and just invite all responses that people might have. Until then, we'll see you next time. And thanks again for listening. Goodbye.
Have a good week.
Yeah.